Good day to all of you out there, Sierra Leoneans in particular, and of course my fellow Americans as well. This is Mustafa Wai. I come to now from the US here. I want to respond to a number of, discussions where they take place now the social media, particularly surrounding the visa ban where they don't impose on Sierra Leone. I don't follow a lot. I don't read a lot. All the interventions and everybody is taking their own positions. People, then they make claims, and a lot of people are casting blames right now as the discussion continues. I do try for talk in Creole so that a lot of people, then in particular Sierra Leone, then we will understand within their stake here. And I'll try as much as possible for make sure say the Americans as well will get for listening to some extent to go understand what I'm talking about as well. The issue we led to the visa ban is almost like when they talk about Creole and say not to say you for done, you for watch. Now for watch we say you sleep with us. Waiting led to the visa ban. And when this visa ban came into effect, I mean the new one is just additional restrictions that has been imposed, but it's not new. Visa ban been only in place since 2017. I'm urged to respond and provide some insight about what's going on for three reasons. One, me na Sierra Leonean born. I was born in Sierra Leone. I came to the United States about 25 years ago. And how myself can I use them as an example for explain how complicated this issue has been. Particularly between the Sierra Leone Embassy here, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Sierra Leone Immigration, and the U.S. Immigration Services. The second reason why I even respond to this is because my brother, my elder brother, is also the ambassador, Sierra Leone ambassador to the United States. Ambassador Sadiq Wai don't leave America for over 40 years, okay? He was very young when he came to this country. He has served Sierra Leone well while he was in this country. He looked into every important Sierra Leone issue that country did, although he was here during the war, in making your contributions. And as time went on, he always remained connected to Sierra Leone one way or another. He made name for himself. Naya, he did very well for himself. He worked, through governments. He works with even the U.S. government. He worked with the New York State government. So he's not just somebody we don't know what they do. So as a brother, I will explain me know what they do and what they do about this visa issue. So I got to explain a little bit of that for the purpose of educating the people of Sierra Leone as well. The third reason why I talk about this is because I was a former auditor for the U.S. government. I worked for NASA Office of Inspector General. What that means that I was an auditor. I was part of audits, investigations, and assessments for the U.S. government from the Office of Inspector General. And I know a lot about, the government functions, the internal controls, the legal requirements, and the processes on how to address issues within government circles and how it happened. And I will understand exactly what in DHS, the U.S., Department of Homeland Security is doing, and the constraints and limitations within themselves they face, and the flexibility and lack thereof in this process, we don't cause a lot of the problems that will they establish, what will they deal with right now. So on that three positions, then I decided to make a statement about waiting to go on about this visa ban in Sierra Leone. But before I do that, I want to address two set of people then. One, now we on SLPP people them. There are people within the SLPP. We don't begin make statements out there criticizing the Minister of Foreign Affairs, criticizing the ambassador. They don't even sabiam. They don't even know what they do. They didn't take their time to understand what is not happening, how far it don't come, what they inherit about this visa. They are out there screaming, they should sack the ambassador, they should sack the minister. We need to find a way for understand things then before we jump out there. I will understand if you feel say that you job then take the ambassador, but that's not the fault of the ambassador. He done back him begging for a job. I'm one of those we beg him for like take the job because he was fit for the position. He took a pay cut. He took a huge pay cut. More than 50% of pay cut. Now when he makes six figure, he take huge pay cut for being ambassador. He also lost in citizenship. He had to give up the U.S. citizenship to serve his country. Okay? How many of us can do that? Me, I already do that. I can't give up my U.S. citizenship to serve anything. Period. Okay? So that's how much sacrifice he's made to serve our country. After living in this country for over 40 years, serving in the highest offices in this country, including as advisor to this to the largest police commission in the world, New York City Police Commission. Okay. Also, it don't serve the same Homeland Security. What we talk about, what they deal with right now, it don't serve on several committees, interfaith and others, for resolve immigrant related matters with the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security. So this is not a stranger to interacting with Department of Homeland Security, and not to posting where Homeland Security get for just jump, say jump, they jump, because he understands the process. He has worked with them. You understand? So he knows what's going on. He knows what he's doing. And for let this problem be solved, so we need a comprehensive process. And both governments have to understand that they have to treat each other with respect, and that they have to come to the table for, say, you know, there has to be a process about this. It can't be just be random. They pull somebody out, say, can't give them visa, send us alone. You know, because there are fallbacks. Right now, there's a guy, a Jamaican guy in Sierra Leone, where they threaten to sue the government of Sierra Leone, because, you know, sabi nobody, they're not today born. They don't send them there. There are people here in prison. We don't know. Most people don't know what's happening in the back. There are people here in prison threatening embassy staff for saying they're going to shoot them. They're going to send somebody for kill them and their family if they issue them emergency travel document for sending to Sierra Leone. And some of these guys are criminals, gang members. What they don't hold, they don't lock them up. Okay? So this is what the embassy here is dealing with. There's so much that the ambassador not able to explain because of constraints on him as a diplomat. Okay? Or even embassy staff them. So people need to take a time and understand what is happening before you jump out there. If you think somebody took your job, maybe you need to go down to lobby for your job, another job in Sierra Leone. Okay? For the APC people who are running around yelling about trying to make political gain, score political points about this, it's a shame, because all of this started under your watch. Okay? The same problems, there's a whole lot I'm not going to, because if I do, it will present the country in a very bad light. And I'm not going to do that. But the criminal enterprise that was being organized here, issuing visas to concubines, you know, foreigners, you know, issuing passports to foreigners, concubines, you know, and bringing people here, just willy-nilly by diplomatic business, you know, might mess up this whole situation. There are three sets of people there where they are, like I explained to you now. Three sets of people there that they are now, where they cause this problem for Sierra Leoneans. And most of them are criminals. They commit crimes then. Armed robbery, rape, you know, gun violence. Not a small crime that they're in jail for. Now, the biggest crime, at the start with the first class. The first class of people, then are refugees then. Refugees. Okay? And I know a lot about that, because you know why? Myself, Seth left Salon during the war, and I came to America as a refugee. And I understand the process that I went through to come here. Yeah? And then they talk. This is not the document you didn't give me. Watch out. This is what was given to me in Liberia in 1996. We had to travel. When we went to Liberia, we left Salon during the war. I not crossed with birth certificate. I not crossed with Salon passport. It was during the war. We all ran away and we went to ended up in Liberia in the refugee camp. And you know what happened? We registered all as Sierra Leonean refugees. Okay? So somebody came, we didn't begin for resettled refugees. There maybe have been people when are known to Sierra Leoneans. We go register as refugees, Sierra Leonean refugees, just because they want for benefit from the refugee resettlement into the United States. When I interview we, the UN, the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, they don't ask me for birth certificate. We've not been get them. They don't ask me for Salon passport. We've not been get them. First of all, you can't hold a Sierra Leone passport at that time, because you don't appeal to the UN for say you have a well-founded fear of persecution, blah 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 blah. You know, you're afraid for go back now your country, then go the rebel then they or whatever, then go shoot you and all that stuff. You know, so they have to give us UN travel document. And guess what? This document is a gift to the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, issued in Monrovia. You know, there's a personal information here, like my date of birth and all that stuff. I don't want to put on public. But look at this. Okay? It's on there. Sierra Leone government had nothing to do with this. They not be know whether not me. They not be know whether my citizenship. I could have not even been a Sierra Leonean. You know, we went through the interviews, then give me visas to come to America. The burden of proof on anyone where they travel for Canada, America, the burden of proof on their documentation is in the hands of the U.S. authorities, then where they grant them visa for Canada. When you go apply at the U.S. Embassy in Monroe, in Sierra Leone, not to Salon government, they send you there. Not to them, they don't even, sometimes they don't even know you there. They don't know. Now, the U.S. Embassy, now the responsibility for validate your records, for validate your birth certificate, validate your passport before they issue you a visa to come here. And most times when they do that, they don't share that information. They don't share that information with the Sierra Leone government. So the Sierra Leone government has no record of who they don't allow for coming to America. The U.S. government maintains those records. What you can, what you do now, what you not do now, whether you go embassy, you register, you not do now, your business. Sierra Leone embassy in Washington has no record. My brother is the ambassador of the Sierra Leone embassy here. The embassy here has no record of me. Because I don't ever really go to the embassy from where they are for 25 years for go register, say me not Sierra Leonean, blah, 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 blah. They have no record of me. And so are many Sierra Leoneans, thousands of Sierra Leoneans in this country, or claim to be Sierra Leoneans. So this process is complicated. There are other people then, but then they give them, obviously, during the APC regime, then give their girlfriends, family members, they give them diplomatic visas, diplomatic passport, and then go to the embassy, then bring them. There's a whole lot of stuff that we're not able to talk on camera. Where did this ambassador don't uncover? And then they try to establish the credibility of this embassy here in Washington. Criminal enterprises, the movie they go on, where the embassy here, they deal with now. Extending to the facilities of the ambassador, where things don't happen, where it's embarrassing. We're not able to talk on that video. But all of that, this embassy, this current regime and the ambassador, they try to clean that up. And people out there and trying to make noise about trying to score political points. It's just wrong. So let's get to the facts of what they go on. Like I start for say, the U.S. government has the burden of proof for establish anybody where they are, where they don't hold, they don't lock them up for crimes or whatever. They want to send them back to Sierra Leone. The burden of proof is on the U.S. government for prove them to the Sierra Leone government for say that person, one, that is a legitimate Sierra Leonean, where they begin visa, whatever visa they get. If not straight away, because straight away, then decide for Guyan asylum, now then business. Sierra Leone has nothing to do with that. Now then decide, the U.S. government decided to give asylum to that person. Whether that person was legitimate Sierra Leone or not, there are many people here on asylum. Whether they were from Nigeria, Ghana, Gambia, wherever, they claim to be Sierra Leonean. During the war in Sierra Leone, a lot of people been do that. So you can't just get up and have a blanket, you know, and expect the government of Sierra Leone for just accept everybody in the country. Including criminals, violent criminals, them, but they don't hold. The dilemma here is simple. The burden of proof is on the U.S. government for proof. Uda, then they don't give visa for Canada. How is Tina in documents then where he get? How he been apply for Sierra Leone? How he been proof in Sierra Leone citizenship? For that, then deport on Sierra Leone, they have to provide that to the Sierra Leone embassy here. Like I said, embassy not get any record of any of that here. So the embassy has to send it to Sierra Leone for validation. And the Sierra Leone government, the Sierra Leone immigration there, will have to validate that process. So if you've been buying your own passport in Ghana, you come out, Gambia, Guinea, or whatever, you buy Salon passport during the previous regime, it's going to be difficult to validate that because birth certificate registry may not even have anything of you. Maybe not fake birth certificate you've been present. In a corrupt system, they don't give you passport. If they try to go back to the registry for validate your birth certificate, it's not there. If you've not been concubined and bring with you on the arm and just come with you, it's the same problem. This is bigger than one person. So what the ambassador here, in collaboration with the government of Sierra Leone, have been trying to do is urge the U.S. government, the U.S. counterpart, to agree on establishing a comprehensive process for establishing who is a valid Sierra Leonean, validate the record of that person, and issue ETA for that person to go back to Sierra Leone. It can't be an imposed process where anybody, no more from any side, and say, we're not issue a document and send them back. Because, come on now, you know, Sierra Leone is a small country. But, you know, of course, we're in America now. We are in a different America. And I don't need to explain to you all. I mean, you know, we have a different administration here where the way things that are happening. And then they bully BB country, then Asylum, they're not going to bully Igbo. You know, and November is around the corner. You know, maybe you know what to do. If you're a U.S. citizen here and you have the right to vote, you know what to do. You know, Sierra Leone is a poor, small country, you know. All they're asking for, let us establish a process for validate the identity of individuals. We don't want for become a dumping ground where they just take anybody no matter how they can go. Somebody will be in Canada, we count refugee, you know, we shall not be known, nothing but in Canada, you know, UN Guyan document, America immigration Guyan refugee visa, in Canada, a change in citizenship, whatever, or you get green card. Not a lot of the troublemakers, then I didn't want to be near the refugee camp. Then. Most of them were young. Some of them be joined rebel, you know, a lot of problems. They cause now the refugee camp. Then they wouldn't end up now. They continue the same lifestyle, and a lot of them end up in trouble with the government. and then go to jail. Armed robbery, drugs, trafficking, all kinds of stuff. So these, most of them are violent criminals. And the problem here is the dilemma is if the neighbor establish their statehood, according to the U.S. law, they have to free them. And they know that. So a lot of them themselves have to destroy their own documents then because they don't want to be connected to Sierra Leone at all. Even during the previous administration, some people don't even try within Sierra Leone for destroy whatever record that existed in Sierra Leone of them. Through a corrupt system, of course, then we're able to do that under a corrupt regime we had there. So these are the difficulties that this administration is dealing with. So for let people then just grab no more, this, that, let them pull minister, this, that. This is beyond the minister. It's beyond the ambassador. It's beyond the immigration in Sierra Leone. The U.S. embassies, in a way they interview people and give them visas for Kamnaya, they need to scrutinize their process, maybe share information. Some of their records, they cannot even share because of privacy laws, U.S. privacy laws. They cannot even share that information with the Sierra Leone government. Even immigration records, like me, we don't have to. Even my immigration records, perhaps it's the Sierra Leone embassy. Not will just ask them, say, "Will not give me that mine in record?" They might not give it to them. So the proof is on the government, the U.S. government, for say, "Okay, let us work together. Let us." The ambassador don't put out a blueprint. Or it don't share with them, Homeland Security, that let us work with these to establish a framework, a comprehensive framework. We will be able to facilitate this folder. Not a way we just grab no more. One day we call, we can't send this other criminal back. Yeah, it is. They will never establish. You know, so this is the problem that they are dealing with. And, you know, we have to understand what is going on and stop this, you know, this attack and trying to score points. And of course, even within the ruling party, others see an opportunity for take a swipe at somebody. It's just wrong. This is a bigger problem than us. This is my election year. They have to raise the number of deportees them. It was somebody's campaign promise. So where else can you go to do that? It's poor countries like Sierra Leone, we don't get nothing for. We can't fight back. We're poor. We are helpless. We can't fight back. So we take the shot. That's what's happening. And people that need to understand that. You know, the government is trying. The embassy is trying within the constraints that they have. You know, even the staff, they're afraid. Some of these criminals, them, if they're not able to send them back, then left them, then they begin threatening embassy staff them, then go do something to them. Some of them, they don't shoot people them before they go to jail. So this is a very delicate process. It's a very, very delicate issue. And both the embassy, the government of Sierra Leone, the U.S. government, you know, need to come to the table and agree on a very clear, transparent, objective framework. We're able to serve both countries well. Where the U.S. will be able to get what they want, and we say we're able to reset. We own people that all know that Sierra Leoneans, they will be don't cause problem yonder. And maybe we can help the U.S. government for us to establish instances then way not to Sierra Leoneans then. And maybe there will be a way they can find. I mean, I've been an auditor, part of investigations in the U.S. government. There are many, many ways you can find other things about people if you want to. So it's not rocket science. You know, but you can't just have quick fixes and impose on a poor country because you think you can just do and slap, you know, stuff on them. So that's what's happening. But I think the government is continuing to engage. The embassy is continuing to engage even after this. And they mean very well. They're trying their best to make sure they bring this under control. That's what's happening, man. And we need to understand and take it easy. You know, take a chill pill, man. You know? All right? Thank you. Much love.